on your hall pass list is Mr. Werewolf and Mr. Vampire.
I think I just want everyone to have a super sexy Halloween.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we have a very special Halloween episode for you.
Spooky!
Melissa!
What?
I know.
I don't.
I'm trying to scare you.
Oh, it was scary. I don't like when you call me my real name.
Well, there you go.
Remember last year, throwback to last year, if anyone wants to go listen, and I surprised you on our first Halloween episode by turning the screen black, and then I turned it on and I was in full witch. I think I may have painted my face green or
Your
something.
Your face was green.
Yeah. I like went full vibe. Yeah.
I was thinking this morning as we were recording this Halloween episode, which this year is just one episode, but last year we were so excited that we did an episode
Four.
For every week of October, which may have been overkill for others, but man, did we enjoy it. And Bean showed up in a different costume for every
daily
single episode. It was the best. You know what just came up on my memories on Instagram was when you were a minion. And it's like a literally a video of me like talking really seriously to you and you're just like a minion.
I painted my face yellow and I had like goggles. And every day you looked beautiful and then it was like me in some horrendous outfit.
You were so mad at me too.
I think for the last one you like attempted to do it, but you put on some like sexy bandana and like you looked sexy. Like
I was
a sexy
a gypsy,
pirate. Oh, whatever.
Which is totally inappropriate now, not politically correct, but I was a gypsy. Thank you very much.
You were a gypsy and I looked like a fucking asshole. Sorry.
So what's going on with you this week?
Would you like my delight? Because it's a really good one.
Yeah.
You already know it, but everybody else doesn't know it. I very unexpectedly got a new puppy.
Oh my God, this puppy is so cute.
I'm going to post a picture on our Signal Instagram page, so everyone should check it out. She's the cutest.
At Signal.
Yeah. Check it out.
Okay.
Or
tell us all about her. What is her deal?
She's delicious. Her name is Rosie. She's a rescue from Mississippi. My kids wanted to go to this place where they have all these rescue dogs just to like look at them last weekend. And I was like, I don't really feel like
mistake.
It. Well, we've done this a million times before. That's why they were like, let's go. And I'm like, okay. And then me and my middle one, like I zoned in on her immediately. And my husband was out of town, Corey. And I called him and was like, Corey, like, I don't even know what to do with this cuteness. I don't know how to wrangle this. And he was like, I don't really know. I wanted a bigger dog. And I'm like, I can't with this dog. And I brought her home the next day and she's been like an angel. She is so sweet and so loving. And we thought my older dog was going to be really mad because she's a little
finicky. Yeah, how is she?
Amazing. She's like plays with her. She paws her. She'll snap at her when she's mad, but like in a reasonable animal instinct way. It's really been darling. Amelia and Rosie. And Rosie's so sweet and she like runs like a puppy and she just has brought in a lot of love. I mean, she's work. It's like, you know, puppies are work, man.
I'm not gonna lie.
A puppy. Yeah.
You sent me a picture of a puppy. Like all I got was a text from you with a picture of puppy. And my first reaction was, oh my God, that's the cutest dog. And my second reaction was, is she insane?
100%. Do you know how many people have said that?
She's lost her mind right now.
Which is not that far off.
True.
It might be part of the process. So most adults have said to me, like, are you out of your mind? And I'm like, I think perhaps.
Maybe. But maybe she's going to end up being like exactly what you all needed.
Exactly. And the kids are really happy and I'm trying to get them to do more chores anyway. And like, this has been a good intro to that. Like you have to take the dog out. You have to do this. And my kids are older now. It's not like I have like toddlers and a puppy.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Well,
she's
welcome
really
to the family,
sweet.
Rosie Posey.
Thank you. You hit me up.
I have had the cringiest series of events. I don't even know.
What? I don't know. What?
I guess maybe they're not a cringy series of events. Okay. I'm having just like issues with other people right now in general.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
First of all, I'm going to tell you a series of unfortunate events. I'll make them short. One, last week, my niece was in town. TJ and my niece was visiting from Tahoe. I took her to State Street to go shopping. you know, I take parallel parking very seriously, as you
obviously
know. Right. And it really matters to me that I get the perfect, most perfect spot as close to where we're going as possible. And I will parallel park anywhere. I'm not afraid of parallel parking.
No, you're
I grew up learning to drive in DC. It's not a big deal.
And you have parking karma. You have the best parking
lot. Good parking karma. The spaces just show up. And so, of course, this happens. We're driving down. We get right to the intersection that is like the sweet spot. And two cars down, this car leaves. And I'm like, excellent. So I put on my blinker. And there's two lanes in this road. And the woman behind me just kind of stands there. And the cars behind her start going around her, as you do when someone's trying to back into a space. She would not move. I kept like backing up slowly so she understood I'm trying to get in that space.
Oh, so
I was signaling with my hand. I was putting my hand out the window saying, go around, go around.
Tap she dancing.
Did not move.
Why?
So I don't know. I don't know if there was a lack of like awareness of what I was trying to do, although you would have to have just learned to drive yesterday. If that was the case, she was definitely like older. So maybe she, I don't know, Bean. I'm just going to tell you something in me, rage was like, no, I am not moving. So I just stood there. She stood there. I kept sort of backing up. She was honking at me. I was like, get out of my way. I almost got out of my car. If my niece hadn't been in the car, I would have gotten out of the car and said something to her.
I thought this is where it was going. I thought that's where we were going.
My cringe is just like that people are this way. Like, what is your problem? Just go around me. I don't understand. And that she kept like signaling to me to go forward. And I was like, do you not understand what I'm doing here? People were then honking at me. It was a whole disaster. And I didn't appreciate it in any way.
I want to get to the bottom of her psyche, like her mentality. Like, what is your rationale? Maybe she didn't understand something.
It's haunting me. I think about her daily. I'm like, what happened? What happened there? I like older lady, maybe in her like, I want to say early 60s, short brown hair, like very capable looking. I don't know.
Like I could see my, I love you, mom. I could see my mom like being in a situation where she's like, what's happening here? Yeah. But not in a mean way, like in a not paying attention or.
That's why I'm slightly cringed out at my own self and stubbornness that I would not move and that I sat there for 5 minutes because something was clearly off.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like I was feeling so indignant.
Yeah.
That I wasn't going to move. And poor Kate is sitting there being like, okay, is Maury about to get into a fight? Kate literally goes, I thought I was going to have to post up.
Well, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds
like intense. Get out and like have my back.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It was funny. So that happened. Okay. Then I almost get into a fight with a bunch of seventh graders.
Makes sense.
As one does.
Right. You're laughing at yourself as you said it out loud.
It's because it's cringy. I went to go pick up Keon from school and he's out, not out where he normally is. And he texts me and he's like, I'm looking for something. I'll be a little late. I'm like, that's weird. So he gets in the car. He's super shameful. And he's like, Mom, do not kill me. I lost my AirPods. He just saved up money and just bought these AirPods. So I was like, oh, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, I was like, where are they? They were on the field. But then I went back with my friend to look for them and they're gone. I'm like, track them. He tracks them. His AirPods are going down the street. So someone has clearly taken his AirPods.
You can track your AirPods?
Bean, where have you been?
You know me and tech. We don't go together.
You and tech need to have a little kumbaya moment because this is something that is life-changing.
Wow. All right.
You have AirPods, right?
Yeah, but I always lose them in my house. So isn't it just going to show me they're in my house?
It'll show you exactly where and you can make it ring. And it now has this new thing where you turn on the camera and it turns green as you get closer to it. And it tells you how many feet away and in which direction.
What? How do I do that?
93 are you under?
Corey doesn't know. How do I do that? You'll have to
Corey
tell me later.
Know. He has
no,
to know.
He doesn't.
I'm gonna call him immediately after this and tell him I'm disappointed in him.
Oh, no.
Anyway. So he tracks them to the local McDonald's by his school.
Oh, no. Then you have to throw down there.
So I'm like, am I going to, like, Kian, are we about to go in here and confront these children? He's like, Mom, I don't know. And I'm like, they have your AirPods. We got to go in there.
Oh, no.
So we park. We walk in. Of course, it's after school. So every seventh and eighth grader from the school is in there. It's like full of kids.
Right.
And he's on his phone. He can see where they are. So I'm like, he's like, go a little this way, go a little that way. So we go get up to a group of kids. And he's a little nervous, obviously. And so I just say, hey, guys, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt. I just was wondering if anyone found some AirPods on the field at school because they're his. And everyone's like, no. And then Keon, I nod at Keon. He plays the sound that you make for your AirPods to start ringing to let you know where they are. They start buzzing in this kid's pocket. And I look at the kid and I'm like, and he quickly reaches his pocket. He's like, oh, yeah, here they are. I was hoping someone would come look for them. And I was like, thank you so much for picking them up.
And that's where you left it?
Well, what am I going to do? Accuse a seventh grader and then Shanky be like, kid. Meet me out back? Yeah. Bean's going to be here.
We're at McDonald's parking lot. It all adds up. We could do this.
Yeah. Wow. So there you go. Two almost fights. Wait, one with an older woman and one with a seventh grader.
Yeah, I like that. Why don't you pick on someone your own size?
Those are where my odds are probably the best.
Oh, that's a good point. But wait, yeah. Did Keon know this kid?
No.
Oh, okay. So it's not like
Keon's in eighth grade. This kid is in seventh grade.
What a naughty boy.
It was pretty wild.
Wow. Anyway,
that's my cringy week for you.
Okay.
All right. So listen, guys, fast forward 20 minutes to get to this point. Tomorrow's Happy Halloween. Happy spooky. Halloween, Bean.
Happy Halloweeny, Beanie.
So we wanted to do a little fun Halloween episode, but we were like, how do we tie this into the theme of our podcast, which is like, you know, spirituality and understanding yourself through the lens of mind, body, spirit.
Wow.
And we decided that each of us are going to pick two symbols from Halloween, and we're going to talk about how they are actually attached to spiritual symbolism. Because here's one thing to know, everything that we like, think about, every character that we think about, like, as related to Halloween, witches, werewolves, vampires, ghosts, which, spoiler alert, those are the four things we're going to talk about.
Well, that's our episode. Thanks for coming.
All of them have roots in being in stories as ways to tell fables around spiritual things. So they're stand-ins for larger themes.
They're
larger
metaphors.
Spiritual themes. They're metaphors. So we thought, what better time to break down the metaphors behind these four icons of Halloween? True icons. I mean, we are in the presence of greatness.
The fabulous icons of Halloween.
Then to trace some of the spiritual symbolism. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk witches. We're going to get into ghosts. We're going to sip the tea with werewolves.
Wow.
And we're going to, I don't know, what's a good one for vampires? Bean, help me out here.
Shimmy and shake. I don't know.
Shimmy and shake.
I don't know. Okay, shake Mom. And bake. Shake and bake.
All right, mommy. So I'm going to start. I want to start. We divided them up. We don't know who's doing, we don't know anything about each other's. I'm going to start with witches. Listen, I really feel
witches.
Like witches. The best thing I can say about this is go back a year and listen to our witch episode from last year at this time, because I really broke down the history of witches. But I want to talk more today about not the history so much, but the symbolism of what witches actually mean in terms of spirituality and metaphorically. So I will say witches have been in the conversation of humans for pretty much as far back as we can trace human history. There is this kind of fearful reverence that you see in early, early history around witches, dating back to ancient civilizations like ancient Greece and Rome and Egypt, where witches are both revered and feared. Ooh. And they're revered for this mystical aura that they have. They're believed to have connections, direct connections to the gods, to spirits, to nature, to have deep knowledge of herbal remedies and how to utilize nature to actually create healing, divination, that they're psychic, and that they're also connected to rituals. So when I think about this, I think, oh, okay, like we would have been witches.
Oh, we would?
Yeah, because
we are
healers in, you know, if you use that word broadly, we are here to create healing by creating change and transformation. We're both really intuitive. Maybe I should say this in the ghost section, but I've said this before. I can receive information from spirits that have passed on too. And often that information is really validated by the other person I'm talking to as being accurate. So that would be seen as something in ancient civilizations as like, oh, that's a witch. But this was not a bad thing in that era. It was revered and people really, royalty really brought people like that in to help them think about and know what's coming and to create healing and to, you know, just basically help them, I think, gain power through their abilities.
Right.
So witches were always seen as like, I'm a little scared of you, but I'm going to use you. So in ancient Rome, for example, there was a witch named Medea, who is seen in ancient Roman text as constantly coming up as both very powerful and very terrifying, and a woman who wielded dark magic in revenge and in love spells.
Ooh.
That is talked about a lot. Obviously, then you fast forward, we get into the medieval and early, you know, after the medieval era, the 14th to 17th centuries. This is when you really start to see, obviously, the spread of the Catholic Church and all of those religious wars happening across Europe. And what does a patriarchal religious war hate more than a powerful woman. Female icon? So
it's true.
I think that the most important thing to think about when you think about this concept of witches is that really it was a slander campaign around any kind of powerful woman, any woman who had any sovereignty, women who had their own wealth because they inherited it and were living without the need for a husband in the 14th, 15th, 16th century were accused of witchcraft.
Yeah.
Because that, right. Because that alone was so terrifying to the patriarchy and to religion wanting to grab hold of that area. So
some might think of them as those women who live alone with cats, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Some might call them
they call them?
Okay. Miserable cat ladies, single cat ladies, childless cat ladies.
Childless, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it so lovely that we're back to the Middle Ages?
Of course, of course.
It's so nice. So it's the most terrifying thing happening. Yeah, right now. So images of witches really darkened significantly during this period. This is when you start to see in colonial America and across Europe, this idea of witches being sinister looking, the long nose, the wart on the nose, the big pointed hat, the cauldron, which, by the way, traces back to paganism and was actually used to mix herbal remedies that people actually were served by, but it was then cast as something that was evil and negative. And they also started to become very attached to the idea of the devil. So witches at this time were seen as devil worshippers, and that their powers, whatever that might be, whether it's their deep understanding of how to utilize nature to heal or their intuitive abilities, were seen as being given to them as gifts from the devil. For worshiping the devil, they then were able to get these powers from the devil. So that's how you started to see this infamous period of the witch hunts, which really targeted a lot of midwives, healers. Yep. Anyone that was seen unconventional or threatening to the social order. Again, powerful women are always the first to be attacked.
Why is a midwife intimidating?
Because a midwife is assisting in birth. She's got a lot of power in that. In itself, and she's using herbal remedies. She's probably has this deep understanding of how to do this in a way that men can't understand why they do what they do and how they know what they're doing.
Right.
So I'm just saying right now, guys,
yeah,
be really, really aware of what we're hearing from the far right about women.
Yeah.
Because it is literally right out of the Middle Ages.
Totally. Spooky. Yeah.
And I think it's important because we always look at history and we're like, wow, they were so uncivilized. Like, how did they do witch hunts? And it's like, we're on the verge of that same kind of thinking again. Fast forward to today, witches have had a resurgence, obviously, and they are all about, you know, really understanding, first of all, the roots of paganism as something that is now respected and valued as, you know, a way of believing, but historically paganism is just understood better. But they're seen as now more of a symbol of empowerment and independence, and that rituals, spells, there's lots of spells books out there. It's really about manifestation and learning how to leverage your word as the way that you bring about the reality that you're trying to create. That's what spells really are, saying out loud what you're trying to create.
I need a spell.
What do you need a spell for? Let's come up with one.
To the success of this podcast.
Oh.
Do it. You're too emotionally involved to create it.
Wibbly wobbly woo. Let this podcast be true.
Oh.
Wibbly wobbly womp. Let this podcast triumph.
Oh.
And so it is.
You are a true poet.
I'm a true witch. Okay, so symbolism. That's what I promised. Less history, right. More symbolism.
You
so,
did a lot of history. You
did.
You
I'm sorry.
I don't have history.
Help it. Right. It is a tick that I have. Right. I need help. Okay, so the number one thing that witches symbolize, which I love, is intuition.
Oh, fun.
Witches are a symbol of our own inner knowing. That when you think about witches being connected to psychic abilities, it's really meant to be a metaphor for our own ability to have a deep connection to something that is unseen, to receive information that is often valid from our intuitive wisdom, and to also connect to things like nature intuitively, animals intuitively, and be able to be in community and communion with these things. That's what all of our inner witch is. It's a metaphor for that intuitive connection to something greater and to nature.
You really are a witch.
Right?
Yeah.
I am a witch. Yeah. I know. I'm telling you that in history, we both would have gotten burned at the stake and probably did in past lives.
We would have enjoyed it together, though. We would have been like, probably. This fire is fun.
We would have been cackling away. They're also connected metaphorically to the idea of transformation. And cycles of nature. So witches are associated with transformation through magic. Like if you think about actual magic spells and alchemy, what is that about? It's about turning one thing into another.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Gargamel.
Oh, from Smurfs?
Yeah, deep Why? Cut. Do you remember that Gargamel would always be like trying to use magic to turn the Smurfs into other kinds of things?
But it was never successful, was it?
No, but
that brings up an interesting question. What? Why is it that men are never witches, or are they? And I'm not aware of this. Why is it always portrayed as a woman?
They're seen as wizards,
which has a much more positive connotation. Yeah.
Well,
obviously.
Surprise, surprise. I think we just answered your question.
Of course we did.
And then, you know, I think I said this, but witches are seen as the bridge between, or not bridge between, but that they have this cosmic connection. They're symbols of a deep connection, both to the earth and the cosmos. They represent balance between earthly life and spiritual insight. And in many traditions, they bridge the worlds of the seen and the unseen, understanding that all things in nature hold spirit energy.
Wow, I would think that would be ghosts, but now I see it's witches as well.
Awesome. Yes, it's also ghosts. So I'm going to say to all of you out there, take a moment today on Halloween, or no, it's the day before Halloween, to really think about, like, where is your inner witch? Where is your deep wisdom? Where is your connection to the unseen? How can you take a minute and just, like, find this inner witch and really honor it? Because it's such a magical part of each of us.
I want to find her.
You already have her.
I do.
Okay, that's witches. What do you got?
I got this. I'm not going to lie. I found mine to be extraordinarily sexy. As we mentioned, ooh. I got werewolves and vampires. And who, I didn't really think about it at first, but there is a lot of like sexuality among the two, don't you think? Like you can feel it. The wolf, he turns into this big, scary guy out of, anyway.
Okay.
Okay. I don't really have a lot of history. So I'm just going to talk about the spiritual connections that I learned.
Do that.
So werewolves really represent the duality of human nature, is that there's this primal part of us and then there's this civilized part of us. And it's kind of like the transformative power of your subconscious and what you can become or what you're repressing or anything. It's a lot of, I think you may have said this with the witch, or maybe you didn't. There's a lot of talk of duality and shadow self in there.
Yeah.
Like we repress these beastly, instinctual desires. Behaviors, yeah, these desires of ours, we repress them, but they still come out. We can't always control it. So it's more about it wants you to recognize that shadow part of yourself and become more whole with it to achieve harmony within your being. There's a lot of like fighting between the man when he's turning into the werewolf. It becomes this like battle almost. He's ripping out of his current clothes. Yeah, in a real sexy way, right? I can't get over it. The whole thing is so sexy. I'm like rubbing my chest. Also transformation and cycles, which I think you also, I guess that seems, there's a lot of common themes among all of these. And what's super cool about the werewolf though, is that it's tied to the phases of the moon, which is a deeply spiritual part thing anyway, that it becomes this evolution and growth, and then like a rebirth with the full moon. He comes into his full werewolfian self.
Whew. I literally
said, "Hot in here."
It's, I didn't realize. I want to know. I want to like know the picture of the werewolf that you're picturing as you're losing your shit right now. It's like, what does like, he look like?
Like Bruce Banner, how he like his shirt, he's wearing like a button Hulk? Down. Yeah, he's all like in his business attire, and then his like shit just rips open, and his fur and his muscles and his manly beastiness comes out, and he's like roar, and he doesn't know what to do, and then he often like scurries away into the night because he's really struggling.
Does he pick you up and throw you over his shoulder as he runs away?
And then he spanks me. I'm just kidding. Mom and Dad. I don't want werewolf spanking me.
I think you should write some YA fantasy. I really think that's in you.
Who knew? But who even knew that I was so attracted to werewolves?
I don't think I realized, and it makes so much sense, that the werewolf symbolizes all of our own inner, unrefined, animalistic, like, desire, instinctual self, and that we fight that self
so hard,
so much, to put on this performance of, like, being all together and buttoned up, and that transformation from man to werewolf is that fight that we're always in between our inner like darkest truth and our performative selves. Damn
werewolves, whew. And it's also about shedding like old ways of being for transformation, shedding your fucking business suit, turning into this sexy beast. I feel like someone's going to end up being offended that we're like sexualizing this devil creature, but it's not really a devil. It's us.
Not a devil creature.
Right. It's us. Another one similar to the witch is the power of instincts and intuition. It's a symbol of like, someone said raw power, raw power, and the ability to navigate hidden or unknown realms. Like, you have to explore that werewolfy inside of you. You can't just keep it all buttoned up in there. You have to let it out, and you have to like check in with it. You know what I mean? Because it knows something you don't know. It can't help but come out ultimately, whether it be under the full moon or when you hit your mid 40s, some might say like 42 or so. it also represents a struggle for control because it's battling this transformation. It wants to be in its buttoned up self. It thinks it wants to be in its buttoned up self, right? But it's so it's trying to control it. That's why it's like this slow. It almost looks like, what's over there?
Why does scary stuff happen every time we do a podcast on Halloween? Why? Something in my bookshelf is moving around.
It's a werewolf. It's so sexy. Let it come in.
I'll let it come in and ravage. How's that gonna work?
I don't know. Maybe over Zoom.
You can live vicariously through me.
People can do energy work over Zoom. Maybe the werewolf could do some werewolfy and Zoom work on me.
Some ravaging. Do you Zoom ravaging, Mr. Werewolf? Is that in your repertoire? Yeah.
Anyway, so the struggle for control is we want to be these button-up self, but we have to learn to master our desires and control our desires in a way that works, that we're not bursting at the seams and our buttons aren't flying off, because we have to work together with that part and all the parts. And lastly, a connection to nature, which I always love. Wolves have been a symbolic of nature and power way back from forever, like guides. And they are, so again, it's like this need to reconnect with the earth. There's something very like, I don't know.
Earthly. I need everyone to watch this on YouTube. She is having a full like experience right now. I think that we should all leave and you should have some private time.
Once that werewolf comes out. Anyway, that's the symbolic nature of werewolves. If anyone, I'm going to find the sexiest picture of a werewolf and post it.
Do it.
On the Instagram. So everyone gets what I'm saying. Don't you get it? The shirt is kind of like torn. You know what I mean? He's raw. He's.
Breathe. Breathe. Fan yourself a little. Bean, I really am vibing with this idea really like don't repress your inner animalistic self.
Right.
You need to like go in and, see that part as part of you and blend it with other parts of you.
Right. And you can be all buttoned up and cool during the day. And then, you know, at night, let your freak out. Yeah. Right.
All right. We're going to move on.
Furry.
Turning into a different
furry podcast. And muscular.
Alrighty.
All right.
Are you good?
Yep. All right. It's okay. Time for ghosts. Cute.
Let's talk about Goof. I don't anticipate that this will turn you on, but I could be wrong.
No, I don't know. We'll it's hard to say these days.
I'm open. Okay. So ghosts, obviously a major symbol of Halloween. And again, really, really metaphoric. Now, full disclosure, I said this up top. I'm not a full-fledged medium, but I do experience receiving information from loved ones who have passed. Often this happens to me if I'm with someone and I start to feel, usually I feel it in my body. There's like a presence over one of my two shoulders. It feels like, this is going to sound spooky, which is great, but it doesn't scare me anymore. It feels like someone's standing like right behind you.
It happened like, last time I was right with you. Yeah. When we were out to dinner, you said, I'm sorry. Are you, remember? And you were like, something's coming through and I just want to share it with you. And I was like, what? Because I've never really seen you do that.
Yeah. And it wasn't to you. It was to someone else recently are getting to know.
Correct.
And it was nice because she validated that 100%. The information I was getting was spot on. So ghosts for me and for people who do receive that kind of communication are very different than obviously the way that we think about them around Halloween and in like the Sixth Sense. For me, it is just this reminder that our loved ones and their energy and their desires for us are never gone. That just because their bodies are not on this earth doesn't mean that their soul doesn't continue to, you know, be with us, especially when they love you. And that they're here to become, you know, that they, when they pass on, they become part of your spirit team. They are there to guide you and support you and really care for you. And so people like me who can receive that energy often are part of our purpose is to be the bridge as well and to share that information with people so that they become aware. One, and most importantly, I think what most people take away from the information I get is, oh, this person isn't gone, which I think is a really important comforting thought that you have this loved one with you. But then sometimes it's like actual really important information about like, hey, you should think about this or this limiting belief you used to have. It came from me. I've healed it. You need to heal it too. That kind of thing.
Can I just ask, is it verbal? Like, do they say something to you or is it just something you're sensing from the presence?
I'm just going to speak for myself because I know that mediums have different ways of doing them. And I think when we have someone
somebody was on
their sentience and clairvoyance. And so what that means is that your ability to receive this kind of information can be visual. It can be auditory. For me, it shows up in a couple of ways that I've learned how to blend together. First, like I said, it's a physical sensation of pressure around my body that wasn't there 2 seconds ago. So that's how I know there's some other energy around me. Then immediately it'll turn into almost like showing me memories. Like it's almost like it's you know how a memory comes up in your head? Like right now, if you think about, I don't know, when you were six, and you think of a memory of that time, it shows up like that. It plays out like a memory. But I then know because I've learned that this presence means they're talking to me about something else. And then I am very emotional as a being, so then it'll have an emotional signature to it. So like if they're really proud, I'll feel really, really proud. Or, it, you know, like I'll get even choked up sometimes like, wow, they're so proud of you right now. Aww. And so for me, it's kind of those three things combined. And, you know, often as Rhea says, who's my mentor and she's been on the show, she's a very gifted psychic and medium. It's almost like playing charades. Like they're showing you something and you're just like, I think you've seen me do that too, where I'm like, can you give me a little more or can you say that differently because I'm not fully understanding it. So
deduce Maury.
fun little inside joke. Anyway, so I had to say that because it's like, well, if I'm going to do ghosts, I got to really talk
you've
about
never
what
done
they are
ghosts from. On me. You've never.
I don't ever get a lot of energy around you.
What's that? Am I all alone in this
world?
No
one gives a shit about you on that side.
What's happening? Guys, it's me.
No, I don't know. A lot of mediums don't get a lot of energy around me either. I mean, my grandmother is so with me though that sometimes I'm like, come on, guys, she's right there. But I don't know. I don't get a lot of, I don't know. Maybe I've got to tune in.
Yeah,
maybe I don't try to tune in. Okay, I will. All right. So ghosts, what do they symbolize? First of all, they are a metaphor for being caught between two worlds. So the way that we think about ghosts is like there, it's a spirit that's trapped between life and death, and it's existing in this liminal space where they're neither fully present in the material world or have they passed on to the afterlife. It's, you know, this is something that ancient Egyptians really believed in, is that, you know, this is a symbol of purgatory almost, or being right. stuck. That's what a ghost is. And it also comes up in Chinese tradition. Have you heard of this concept of the hungry ghost?
No.
Which is spirits who are basically restless because they didn't have a proper burial, or they have unresolved grievances. Aww. So they are here until that grievance is resolved, or they've had some kind of proper burial to send their spirit.
I thought it was a ghost who likes to eat snacks a lot. And I was like, get it. I get it, girl. I'm with you, ghost. I love snacks.
Well, then you'll definitely be a hungry ghost. I'll leave out little snack plates for you.
Thank you. Cookies.
Yeah.
Gluten-free.
Yeah, little cookies. Thanks. For your hungry ghost self. The other thing it symbolizes is the idea of unresolved emotions. And I think we just talked about unfinished business. So a common theme is that ghosts represent grief, anger, love, or guilt. And this shows up in stories of folklore a lot, that spirits often return to the physical realm to complete some kind of unfinished business, like seeking justice or protecting their loved ones or finding closure for a traumatic event, which I will say, when I've been with Rhea and she's done sessions with groups, I've seen that happen, where a spirit will come through related to someone to try to get closure around a traumatic way of dying or a traumatic way of existing in the family system.
Oh, what about though, just coming back, their soul reincarnating and learning, getting closure in their next lifetime?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think
I want us.
Well, my belief system is that when we pass, our souls do, and guys, go listen to the Ainsley episode from a couple of weeks ago. You know, I believe with Ainsley that our souls do come back to learn the next level of information and the next level of lessons. I think that this is hard to grasp, but it's like a part of the person's energy stays back.
I get it.
Like the part that was attached to this realm in this lifetime stays back, but that their soul is also simultaneously evolving. Able to choose its next adventure and evolve. Right. That's the way I see it.
Like its arm just stays. just like a ghost arm. Spooky.
Just like only the top of the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very spooky.
Very spooky. So yeah, those are really the symbolic ideas. The metaphor around ghost is this being trapped. And then they also are seen as the bridge between life and death, that they are there to remind us that there is more to this world, more to life than just what we see. And that when people pass and are no longer using their physical bodies, it does not mean that their souls and their spirits do not live on. And they're a reminder, I think, in folklore and in metaphor, for us to all know that your spirit lives on and is beyond, much bigger than your body.
That's really nice. But it, for some reason, the rest of the description felt kind of sad. Like this concept of being trapped.
Feeling stuck.
Yeah. Feeling stuck or unfinished or incomplete in some way.
I don't know that it's always a sad stuck. Like for me, it feels like my grandmother, who I feel a lot, is very like, this is what I want to do. I'm really happy to be here next to you. And I'm really proud of you. And I'm really, you know, like it feels like it's part of her spirit's purpose.
Right.
So I think that can be interpreted as stuck if you're trying to put it in a box. Right. But I think it's a way of sticking around for a reason, which I love.
Yeah. You always reframe.
And you handled that like a pro. There was nothing sexy about that for you. So I think we cooled you down. No, but now we're about to talk about vampires and I'm nervous.
I mean, vampires... In them, in their being, they are sensual, right?
They are very sensual. I guess, is that part of what they symbolize? Our inner sensuality?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. But there's a lot of
things. Do you realize that you picked the two characters from Twilight?
Oh, I didn't watch Twilight, but no.
Excuse?
Did you? What? I don't even remember you being into it.
Well, I guess because I have a younger cousin sister, Anais.
Yeah.
That was her era. Twilight was her teenage years. She's only 8 years younger than me. Not only, I guess that's a lot. So I guess I watched them with her.
Because I didn't, because I was older. Right. That wasn't my vibe. Yeah.
Wow. But you got to watch some Twilight.
Wow. Is it super sexy?
It's super sexy. And it's all about a werewolf and a vampire and how they're trying to fight for this girl and, you know, pull out all the sexy, spooky, what is it, stops.
Oh, wow. I feel like it sounds like softcore porn for me.
It is.
Okay.
For teenagers.
Well, perhaps I'll check it out.
Do it. I think that you're in the right headspace for it.
I think I should go watch it right after this pod. Corey's going to be like, what are you doing?
Nothing, nothing.
Anyway, I will say, though, the symbolism of the vampire is much darker and kind of mean. I felt like the werewolf got like some props. Like, it's just your instinct. It's just who you are. And the vampire is like, no, that's like a little demonish in there. Like, you're kind of naughty. It's not. It felt more bad than the werewolf.
Tell me.
So the first thing is that it's representative of energy and life force. So basically they drink the blood, they suck the life out of other people. So it's about having an awareness of people around you who suck the life out of you and putting
energy
up some
vampires,
an energy vampire, and putting up energetic boundaries. Bean, you have a question. May I help you?
Have you ever seen the show What We Do in the Shadows?
No.
Write it down. You're going to watch it tonight.
I am.
You're going to die laughing.
Oh, it's funny.
It's, you know, Jermaine from, Jermaine.
Flight of the Conchords.
So produced it. Oh. It is ridiculously hilarious. And it's about these vampires who are from, you know, hundreds of years ago, but they're trying to live in modern times.
Oh, no way.
And they all live in this house. And they're all different kinds of vampires. And one of them is an energy vampire. And he's like this, like that boring guy at the office that would just come sit and just talk to you for an hour.
Yeah.
He's that exact character. You have to watch What We Do in the Shadows.
All right. Promise. You had me at Jermaine.
Okay.
Anything he's in, I'm in.
So good. Okay. Sorry.
Anyway. So great. Everyone write that down. So it's important. Just a reminder for you to protect your own life force and not allow energy vampires. I guarantee you everyone listening right now is thinking of their energy vampire. There probably aren't that many. Yeah. Stop.
Think about your energy vampire.
And think about ways to protect yourself from that person.
Like it. What are you going to do to not let them suck your entire
suck your blood. Suck your energy blood. Unless you want to do it in like a sexy way.
Yeah. I knew that was coming.
They also represent immortality and internal life, which this, I really like the language I read in this one thing. This symbolizes the soul's quest for transcendence beyond the physical world and mortality, which I kind of felt like is a lot of what we talk about on this pod, is that you're more than just here. There's so much more. And what does your soul do? And where do you go? And where have you come from? And what is the meaning of life?
Yeah. I totally, again, hadn't thought about how a vampire symbolizes all of our quest for immortality, which is where this character would have come from, is that deep desire for immortality.
To live on, yeah.
Yeah.
Similarly, shadows, repression, the shadow self, that your repressed sexy desires, the impulses that we have within ourselves. And a really cool thing was their avoidance of light and the sun is symbolic it's parts of your psyche that you don't want, that you don't want to address. You don't want to be enlightened. You don't want to see it all, right?
Oh, so
you
kind of God.
Stay in the dark. Yes, you stay in the dark and you keep it like that. And that's an easier existence for you than, and if you open the curtain and you see the sun, you explode, you combust and you're done.
Yes,
if you really see yourself, it's too hard. It's scary.
Yes. It's what we were just talking about before we started recording.
Yes.
Like, enlightenment is not rainbows
it's scary.
It is hard work to be that awake all the time to your own flaws,
to your own shit.
No.
Right.
To other people and how they make you feel, to your trauma. Like, it is work, constant work.
It's
so the vampire symbolizes shutting yourself off from that enlightenment.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's just easier to stay in the dark.
Mind.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
And then as you mentioned, desire, seduction, control. They are often depicted as sexy, alluring beings, right?
Totally. They're hot.
And they come and they manipulate you. And the women are always sort of like, I don't want to. I'm like kind of scared. But also they like will turn
Here's
their heads. Here's my neck. Here's my
neck.
Luscious neck, right? So but it's supposed to symbolize the dangers of unchecked desires, that it can be harmful if you don't. So she's experimenting. She knows it's sort of dangerous, but she's like starting to let herself, let him get near, but that's dangerous. So you have to just acknowledge your desires before they become out of hand. Right. Before it gets out of hand. It's okay to want, you know, a little nibble, but if you're going vampire nibbling, it's next level, right?
Depends who you're talking to.
Depends who you're talking about. Also, transformation and rebirth, same thing. It's dying, but then be rebirthing as a immortal being. So you die, but then you live on forever, which can symbolize spiritual transformation by shedding an old identity and stepping into this new way of being, which is sort of enlightenment, but also it symbolizes not being enlightened. It's a little confusing, these Halloween theories.
Well, I think the vampire is the most complicated of the four we've covered.
Because he's multifaceted.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'd like to point out that one thing that Bean is doing as she's talking about the vampire is she's playing with her hair like she does when she's being flirtatious with a person. So
You're flirting
with this idea of this vampire. I just wanted to point that out.
Fine.
What we've learned today is that vampires and werewolves are hot AF.
Seriously. No, the werewolf for some reason did it for me way more than the vampire, because I don't like that like bad boy thing. I don't like, it's not for me. You know what I mean? Like, go do that shit on your own time. Like, just show up as you are. Yeah. No thanks, vamps. Fear of light and truth. That was the same thing with the being in the dark, is it's too scary to face enlightenment and higher consciousness, which is why we're all so shut off and sleeping, walking through this world, is because it's scary. It's a scary process. It's a scary climb. And it's easier to cling to darkness and ignorance. Sorry, guys.
Wow. The fear of enlightenment really just did it for me. I'm going to look at vampires so differently now.
Wow. Lastly, eternal hunger. Eternal hunger, like people always wanting to understand more and have meaning in their lives. And that we're not satisfied with the material things here. We need more. We're yearning. We have this deep, in sometimes unhealthy ways, we want like a different kind of spiritual nourishment.
Yeah. That's sexy, also right? So true. Oh, that you're also finding that sexy. Where is the line between what you don't find?
I don't
sexy
know. He's hungry for more. Mr. Vampire wants more. Did you ever watch Interview with a Vampire from the 90s?
There's a new one, by the way, out on A&E Plus. It's a series. Oh my God, you're going to lose it.
Is it good? I didn't know I had this.
It's literally, it's Interview with a Vampire, but like done, updated. They're both so hot. You're not going to be able to do it.
I have to be honest, listeners, I had no idea that this stuff did it for me until I did all this sexy research. And now
I didn't realize it either, but this is good information to know about one's best friend.
So dear listeners,
on your hall pass list is Mr. Werewolf and Mr. Vampire.
I think I just want everyone to have a super sexy Halloween. Trick or treat, if you know what I mean. I don't even know what that meant. It sounded super. This episode is going off the Halloween rails right now.
I just didn't expect you to be so hot for it.
Me either. That's why it was shocking. No. It was very enlightening.
I honestly learned a lot today. I want to thank you.
I want to thank you.
Thank you. I really did. All right. Well, there's our Halloween episode, guys. If you enjoyed this at all, or you were aroused, please share this with your friends and family where it would be appropriate. Anyway, that was really fun. Happy Halloween, guys. Have a safe Halloween. And we'll see you next week with another episode. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Gushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.